The Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange has always believed that peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store with locations in Reading, Chico, Corning, and we're happy to announce the reopening of our store in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palisadro. To celebrate this, we're giving away a free personal stainless steel water filter bottle, a $32 value, with the purchase of a 200-serving emergency food bucket while supplies last. These are a convenient and versatile food storage product. Just add hot water for quick meals at home or grab and go if you have to evacuate. And don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Reading, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And once again, in Palisadro at the Holiday Market Center. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host once again. We'd like to thank our sponsors out there, everybody in the North State who contributes to this program.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And we the people in State of Jefferson.
All the above.
Yeah.
Today is Sunday, September 14th, 2014. Again, my name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host. You're listening to KCNR, and you can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we have Bob in the studio with us once again.
Our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark and Linda.
Good morning.
We also have our special guest this morning, Gary Cadd.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. And we'll be talking about all things city. The quote of the day, the mark of a great man is one who knows when to set aside the important things in order to accomplish the vital things. That would be Brandon Sanderson. Not sure who he is, but I like this quote.
Yeah, that's good.
So do you have any announcements? Because I have a video I want to run.
I wanted to let people know that on September 18th this week is Air Force 67th birthday. So I wanted to get that out to everybody. Also, the third Friday of September, which is going to be September 19th this month, is to recognize POWs and MIAs.
Very good. Before we get to our guests, I want to run a quick clip. It's about 5 minutes of a Senate hearing with Rand Paul. And I thought this was important. I saw this morning, and it just goes to some things that we probably should pay attention to. If we've got it queued up there, almost. But very important on the Senate floor, talking about the militarization of the police. So go ahead and run that clip, Bob, and then we'll get to our guest after the break.
Okay, we'll try it again.
Ba-dum-bum-bum.
Three, two, one.
There we go.
33 program.
I think you got to go back to the beginning. There we go. Perfect.
I think many of us were horrified by some of the images that came out of Ferguson. We were horrified by seeing an unarmed man with his hands over his head being confronted by an armored personnel carrier. We're horrified by seeing an unarmed man with his hands over his head being confronted by a man with a drawn assault weapon. We're horrified by images of tear gas being shot into the yards of people's personal homes who were protesting. One of the fundamental things about America is dissent and the ability to have dissent. And it needs to be peaceful. There needs to be repercussions for people who do not act in a peaceful way. But confronting protesters with armored personnel carriers is thoroughly un-American. And for 150 years, we've had rules separating the military, keeping the military out of policing affairs. But you sort of obscure that separation if you allow the police to become the military. In FEMA's authorized equipment list, there's actually written descriptions for how the equipment should be used, and it says it's specifically not supposed to be used for riot suppression. Mr. Kamoy, is that true, that it's not supposed to be used for riot suppression? And how do you plan on policing that, since the images show us clearly large pieces of equipment that were bought with your grants being used in that riot suppression?
Senator Paul, that
or
is...
protest suppression, rather.
That is accurate. The categories of personal protective equipment that include helmets, ear and eye protection, ballistics, personal protective equipment, is a prohibition in the authorized equipment list that is not to be used for riot suppression.
And what will you do about it?
We're going to follow the lead of the Department of Justice's investigation about the facts. We're going to work with the state of Missouri to determine what pieces of equipment were grant-funded. And then we have a range of remedies available to us should there be any finding of non-compliance with those requirements. Those include everything from corrective action plans to ensure it doesn't happen again, recoupment of funds. So we'll look very closely at the facts, but we're going to allow the investigation to run its course and determine what the appropriate remedy is.
But it gets back to the whole question. If you're a police force anywhere in the country, from Dundee, Michigan of 3,900, which is MRAP, to 25 other cities under 25,000 that have MRAPs, they think these are for riot suppression. Well, I don't even know what they think they for in a city of 3,900 people. But many of the police forces actually think that this is what the equipment would be good for, is riot suppression in a big city in an urban area. And you're specifically instructed that it's not for that. And we've talked about, you know, we've had maybe two instances of terrorism. We spend billions and billions of dollars and maybe two instances of terrorism. So I think really by supplying all of this free equipment, much of which is just frankly inappropriate and really shouldn't be on anybody's list of authorized equipment. Mr. Estevez, in the NPR investigation of the 1033 program, they list that 12,000 bayonets have been given out. What purpose are bayonets being given out for?
Senator, bayonets are available under the program. I can't answer what a local police force would need a bayonet.
I can give you an answer, none.
Okay.
So what's President Obama's administration's position on handing out bayonets to the police force? It's on your list. You guys create the list. You're going to take it off the list. We're going to keep doing it.
We are going to look at what we are providing under the administration's review of all these programs.
So it's unclear at this point whether President Obama approves of 12,000 bayonets being given out. I would think you can make that decision last week.
I think we need to review all the equipment that we're providing, Senator. And as I said, we, the Department of Defense, do not push any of this equipment on any police force. The states decide what they need.
My understanding is that you have the ability to decide what equipment is given out and what equipment is not given out. If you decided tomorrow, if President Obama decided tomorrow that mine-resistant ambush protection 20-ton vehicles are not appropriate for cities in the United States, he could decide tomorrow to take it off the list. You could decide this tomorrow. My question is, what is the administration's opinion on giving out mine-resistant ambush protection 20-ton vehicles to towns across America? Are you for it or against it?
Obviously, we do it, Senator. We're going to look at that. I will also say that I can give you anecdotes where mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles have protected police forces in shootouts.
But we've already been told they're only supposed to be used for terrorism, right? Isn't that what the rule is?
Our rule is for counter-drug, which could have been the shootout. I'd have to look at the incident. Counter-narcotics, counter-terrorism.
Okay. I guess the point I wish to make is that these are fairly simple problems, and common sense applied years ago, you know, we could have fixed these. We're going to maybe fix them, although I have my doubts because I've seen rarely anything ever fixed in government. But I would say that we're now responding to a tragic circumstance, you know, in Ferguson to do this. But I think that I find these decisions to be very easy to make. You just shouldn't be giving out mine-resistant vehicles. Bayonets, there's no excuse. I, I don't understand why we have to get together and have a study for months to decide bayonets are inappropriate to be giving out. I can't imagine any use for a bayonet in an urban setting. So really, it's gotten out of control, and this has largely been something that the militarization of police is something that has gotten so far out of control, and we've allowed it to descend along with not a great protection of our civil liberties as well. So we say we're going to do this. It's okay if it's for drugs. Well, look at the instances of what have happened in recent times. The instance in Georgia just a couple of months ago of an infant in a crib getting a percussion grenade thrown in through a window in a no-knock raid. Turns out the infant obviously wasn't involved in the drug trade, but neither was even the infant's family. Happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. No one's even been indicted on this. So really, this is crazy out of control, and giving military equipment and with the breakdown of the whole idea of due process, of no-knock raids and not having judges issue warrants anymore, you can see how this gets out of control, and people are very, very concerned with what is going on here.
Well, I think that'll do it, but I think
that's more than crazy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I had to play that this morning. I just happened to run across that, and I said, holy crap. And this is what we justify it under, that we need it for drugs, and we need it for this, and we need it for that. But really, what is going on here? And we can trust the DOJ to investigate this and do the right thing, huh? Eric Holder, right? We can trust him, right?
We can.
Oh, yeah. All of his investigations up to this point have been stellar, right?
I forget who said it, though, but when you can't distinguish between the military and the police, you've got a serious problem.
Well, that's
folks.
Why they had the posse comitatus rules for so long that are now circumvented through the NDA and the Patriot Act.
Right. Mm.
So this week you're a target because you're a druggie. What about next week when you're a target because you're withholding water from the community and you have a garden?
Well, yeah, and they'll figure out any reason.
Or you're just designated as being a troublemaker.
You're just a troublemaker. Yeah. Oh,
I just don't like the way you look today, so I'm going to come on.
You're a tea partier, aren't you?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's exactly right.
Let's go to the first break. We'll come back with our guest, Gary Cad, and we'll talk about all things
city. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is Community Radio for the North State.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
Playing ball is a fun and healthy activity. Unfortunately, the cost of organized sports participation is out of reach for many children. Art Wooden Play Ball Foundation's mission is to increase local youth sports participation through education, providing equipment, and fee assistance. Join us Saturday, September 27th at 10 a.m. for the Home Run Derby fundraiser at Reading Softball Park. Admission is free and includes a kids' venue, auction and raffle prizes, concessions, and good old-fashioned home run hitting. For more information, visit us on Facebook or call 440-4211.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health,
lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Crank it up, Bob.
On a steel horse I ride, I'm wanted, dead or alive.
Yeah, maybe one day.
I think we're all working at it. According to the last clip, it may be sooner than what we thought.
Yeah, you never know. Listen, we've got our guest here today, Gary Cadd. He is a member of the City Council here in Reading. And we're going to be having a lively discussion, I'm sure, as usual. Good morning,
well,
Gary.
Yeah, you know, and Mark, it was a great clip you just played of Senator Rand Paul. Bring something to mind. The City of Reading has invoked coordination with CARB, the California Air Resources Board, over the filters, the diesel particulate issue is what I could word it. And we're ongoing. It's going to be a long struggle with these folks. But the thing that happened was back in March, the last half of March and first part of April this last year, there was a comment by Gina McCarthy. She is the director of EPA, the federal EPA, and she made the statement before the House Science and Technology Committee. It was an answer, actually, to them. They had asked her to bring in information on where EPA and CARB stands to do these diesel particulate regulations. And it had been 18 months, and they finally said, well, either you come in and tell us where this information is, this science and information you have, or you're going to jail, one or the other. They had
Wow.
So they went after it. Well, she finally came before the committee and told the committee that, in essence, this information has not been made public. It won't be made public. But for the most part, it doesn't exist. So they let her off the hook.
So we have science that we don't have that says that you need to do this, even though it's not proven, because we told you so.
Right. Well, in essence, what they're doing is they're writing regulations off of science that hasn't been created yet. So anyway.
Oh, you can trust them. Don't
worry. Said that on a Monday. Then on Friday, I attended the CARB meeting down in Sacramento in the CARB Palace. And Mary Nichols made the statement that I in my comments, I asked him, I said, why don't you guys close up shop? I said, according to what Gina McCarthy said, you have no basis to stand on. And Ms. Nichols made the statement to me that when it comes time for the board to talk, I'll answer your question, which was the next morning when most of the people were no longer there because it was a packed house of 500-600 people on Thursday. Well, Friday she made the comment that she had been back to Washington, D.C., and she had seen all this information, and this information was real, and they were going forward with the regulations.
They would never lie in Washington, would they?
Oh, never. Well, and the thing with it is, too, is people don't understand. And I see that CARB has taken it off their website because they have a tendency of doing that when they're bringing something up. They want to try to cover it up, that the diesel particulate regulations will be covering 1.5 ton and 1 ton pickups coming up in January. So, in other words, they're expanding it and lowering down into the smaller size trucks,
right,
which will be a real hassle for folks. But going on the following week after this Ms. Nichols meeting, Gina McCarthy was back on the news, and she made the statement that they were moving forward with their regulations and that, oh, and to you minority Republicans, you troublemakers, were coming after you. Well, when I heard that, I thought, man, what's going on here now? Well, it was a day or so later that the U.S. Supreme Court let out a ruling that the U.S. government and the military can take people off the street of the United States of America, hold them indefinitely, and for being a troublemaker.
Yeah,
so which fit right into what McCarthy was saying.
Well, it's the truth. I mean, that's what people need to realize. I mean, there seems to be a common theme here, whether it's at the local, state, federal level, is that government is out of control. And it's okay. I mean, and the guys that are going, well, they're on our team now because we like environment and we like this. Well, what happens when all of a sudden you become the target?
Right.
You know, just like the IRS and Lois Lerner. What happens when when you have a Republican guy in there and now all of a sudden the environmentalists are the target? So what happens is this goes across both aisles, and out of control government sooner or later knocks on your door.
Yep.
Well, and the thing with it is about 2 or 3 weeks after this, there was a thing on the news that there's President Ulysses S. Grant passed away of throat cancer back 100 years ago. And there was a TV station in that area that wanted to go do a piece on the home that he died in.
Right.
And so they went into the house on one afternoon and recorded a bunch of the rooms, and they put their piece together. Well, the next morning they decided, well, you know, we ought to go back out and take an exterior shot of the, so they took a camera crew out to take an exterior shot. While they were doing that, there were several cop cars, and actually they weren't cop cars, they were prison guard cars, came down. There was three of them came down, descended upon me. Well, you have to give us the card out of your camera. You can't be taking a picture and this and that. I said, why? Well, in your scanning across the home, the Grant home, you're also getting a picture of a prison that's up just up the street. And you can't have, you can't be doing that.
And who's in the prison?
Well, the prison, as it worked out, has 76 employees, and the prison was closed down. There were, for the last year, there had been no prisoners in the prison.
And they don't want you taking pictures. Why?
But
because you might see the workers and no prisoners?
Because the prisoners have been moved out. But this prison is not being closed down. This prison is going to be used for quote-unquote something, because all 76 people that worked there while the prison was open are still working there.
Wow. Well, that, I mean,
could this be one of those places that you're going to put these troublemakers?
Let's just say that there's no troublemakers going into the mix. Why are you funding 76 people to keep a prison open that doesn't have any prisoners?
Well, just in case.
And why can't you take a picture of it?
And why can't
just
you take a picture of it?
Just in case. Can't get it out there.
Yeah, no.
And
you
the TV station went back to their station, and they edited out the part of their footage that had the prison in it. And then they went ahead and presented it, and they went forward.
Somebody might
have. But this makes you wonder what is going on.
They're polishing bayonets.
They could be, but they certainly don't want anybody asking any questions or knowing anything.
You know, anybody who's not getting a little suspicious here of our government is an idiot, in my opinion, because they have been crossing the lines of our constitutional rights on a very frequent basis, and they think that there's no problem with it. I mean, listen, you got the pen, you got the phone, we'll just do whatever we want. Congress is irrelevant. Hey, you know, just crown me king, and let's build a palace.
Well, that's about it. Now, having said that, the subject that we were going to talk about, that I came in to talk about this morning, is right in front of us. And I'll be darned it also that the Record Searchlight has quite an article in the paper about it today.
Interesting. Yeah.
And that is city wages.
Unfunded liabilities.
Yes.
I'm not going to say my favorite subject, although I've studied this thing inside out, upside down, backwards.
But it's a very important subject.
That it is. And one thing that before we start here, if some folks out there go to the city and go to the city website and look at the budget, you're going to see figures of underfunded figures in there. They are actuarial figures,
not
market value figures.
Yeah.
The market value figures are about roughly 40% higher than the actuarial figures. And when it comes time to paying these unfunded pensions off, we will be paying the market value off.
Explain actuarial to us so that we understand
and why the city runs on that.
What's the difference?
actuarial are assumptions. That's when actuarial accountants sit down and figure pension plans, and they figure off into the future in projections.
So that's assuming, so they could figure it out, assuming that the stock market or the CalPERS investments are going to have a rate of return of, say, 12% or 7% or something.
Well, they have to have at least 7.25.
Right. And then they project that into the future, mm-hmm. and if that happens, everything's good.
Right.
But if the stock market crashes and we have a negative, then it's not good?
It's not good, because then we have to go back and pick it up. People of the city of Reading.
And they don't want to show that other side of it. Well,
it's a way of making the number look less gross.
So this is what they call pie-in-the-sky accounting, or cover up your mess,
not having reality.
Well, that's
based on the true numbers.
I was going to say cooking the books, but I guess this is a legal way of cooking.
No, it's legal. The thing with it is that I don't want to get into government standards board number 28 and then 67.
Right.
28 says that they can report it in actuarial figures. 67, which will start July 1st of next year, they have to do it in market value figures. So,
it is deceiving. I mean, no matter how you slice the pie, I'm not trying to say anything crooked is going on here. As much as I'm saying is that this is kind of a hybrid accounting that is deceptive to somebody who doesn't understand the actual workings of what's going on here.
Now, having said everything we talked about in actuarial and market value, I'm going to talk this morning about some values. Some hard numbers. Now, these hard numbers can change because there's several different things that CalPERS runs under, like you said, whether they get the 7.5% return, or whether they if they've got 12%, then part of that does come back to us. So the numbers can fluctuate.
Oh, they're in really solid investments too, like European sovereign debt, the stock market, and mortgage backed securities. What could go wrong?
Oh yeah, what could go wrong?
No problem.
I think we need to go to a quick break here. And then we'll come back and let's pry it open a little harder.
Okay. If you want to call in and have a question or comment for Gary, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
And I'm Red. They call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny. My wife Judy and I want to say thank you. Thank you for blessing us with such wonderful friends and business. We love being a part of such a great community here in Shasta County. Every day the people we meet and the chance we have to help each and every one of you makes us proud. We look forward to being there when you need us. Wind or rain, sun or shade. Shasta Gas Propane, family owned, family operated. For safety, service, and savings, give us a call at 365-3793. And once again, thank you.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family owned and operated for 3 generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're usually too busy taking care of our patients to boast about our accomplishments. But when you're the only hospital in the North State ranked as a 100 top hospital in the nation 2 years in a row, and your emergency department is the only one in the region recognized as the certified chest pain center, Well, it was hard to keep our pride from showing. Shasta Regional Medical Center. You don't have to be the biggest to be the best.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Be a good idea. Walk softly. Let's talk a little bit more about this unfunded liability and how it works with this, PARS Retirement Enhancement Plan, the Public Agency Retirement Services. You look at these figures and, 7%, 2.7%. I mean, it all sounds pretty benign until you start looking at the numbers of what these guys are pulling in. I mean, I'm looking at a sheet of, I don't know if this is the top 10, Gary, or top 26, I mean. So you can find all these records at the City of Reading site. And, we got Mike Warren at the top, making $183,000 a year, I guess, when he was working. And now he's actually making, $207,000, and he's not working. And we'll get into that a little later, but, when you start looking at these, and they're all pulling over $100,000 plus benefits. I mean, you got Modi pulling $164,000 a year annually.
That's gross retirement.
Gross. Yeah. That's his retirement.
But and the thing with it is, with that's not on the city site. That's from I think that's Fix. What's the top of it says the website is fixpensionsfirst.com. You can go to that. There's several. See, the thing with it is CalPERS and PARS, neither one give out any information. You can talk. You can call them and talk to them about the benign their percentages and how they calculate this. But any actual pensioner, they won't give information out on them.
So, Mike,
but there are. There are different websites
to where you can get
that have sued under the Freedom of Information Act to get information out, and it depends upon the year in which they got the information. Now, this fixed pension that I just mentioned is probably back from 2011 for the amounts on it, because see, they get a COLA increase each year, which is sometimes it's 1.5%, sometimes it's 3%. So it's hard to figure exactly what it is. So some of these figures, as far as the pensions list you've got there and the Mike Warren list you've got there, these figures may not be right on the money, but boy, they're sure close enough. They're close enough for hand grenades.
I mean, it's because the one at 183 a year on Mike Warren, who's the top guy. That's not counting his other retirement package. So,
well, he also has PARS on top of
that's what I'm saying. So he's making right now a monthly income of $17,000 a month as a retired.
Yeah, great. Gross 200.
His retirement package.
Since we're into that one, let's talk about that.
All right.
Yeah. The Mike Warren, when he was working for the city, the last. I guess I don't have a copy of it here in front of me at the moment.
We'll share.
The last salary he made for the city of Reading was $196,000. That's when he retired in 06.
So how do you get a hundred ten percent of your salary when you retire? Does anybody else do that?
Well, the thing with it is you have to figure that CalPERS calls it the PERSable amount. The PERSable amount is not just their ending salary, which is what we're sold on. It's their ending salary. But it's their ending salary plus, and I was told here not too long ago that they do not figure vacation pay that's saved up. Well, there's a problem with that, because I was in L.A. here last week and talked to the PERS and PARS people, and they do take vacation time. In fact, what it is the city councils, previous city councils, have voted to allow them to take these different spikings, if you will. So Mike Warren actually, ending salary was 196. His principal amount is close as I can figure it. I want to make that point. This is close. It's 276,000. So he jumped from 196 to 276.
Now he works at Turtle Bay, right?
Yeah, that's another story. So by the time the
Am
time
I the only
we
one
take,
to see something wrong here?
By the time we take, and you see, we're just talking CalPERS now. There's also PARS that was put into effect in January 1st of 2005, and the city councils made sure that they went back and had all of the bargaining units, the minus safety, police and fire, were all into place when they put this into effect. Well, when they did, they increased it by 0.7, which was $21,000 on a $100,000 salary. So you can imagine what it was for Mr. Warren. That when that went into effect, they made it retroactive back to the first day that these individuals hired on with the city. In this case here, Mr. Warren worked for an additional, I think it was additional 14 or 15 months for the city of Reading, but he was given credit for 10 years because he worked 10 years for the city of Reading.
Which gave him another $1,600 a month.
Yeah, 19.3, that took the total gross up to $207,000.
Unbelievable. And I mean, so, of course, there's no relationship between Turtle Bay and the city either.
None at all.
Yeah. Because they were getting the money for Turtle Bay from the city for a while, and then we won't talk about the McConnell Land.
Well, it's pretty amazing how they put it into place, and then he retires too.
I'd like to also there's two things I'd like to bring up here. TransparentCalifornia.com is where I got most of this information, and I have talked to the individuals that run this.
Well, this is just sour grapes, right, Gary? I mean, these guys should make this. This is how we attract the talent to the city, right? We need to pay these high salaries because, you know, nobody else is going to come here and live.
But wait.
Okay.
Both PARS and CalPERS now have us on a payment plan to pay the $360 million in unfunded pensions. PARS has us on the plan now that we're paying $4.8 million a year just for the unfunded portion, and we'll do that for an additional 10 years to pay that one off. And then CalPERS is moving in starting next spring with our budget. We will start increasing our payments to CalPERS. First year is $1.7 million. I think the second year is $5.3 million. It builds up to $13.2 million and then continues for 20 years out into the future.
Now, that's assuming that we have the current rate of return on investment from CalPERS as far as their investments, right?
Well, of course.
Well, what happens if the stock market crashes?
Well, then the bottom falls out and everything goes away. I mean, I'm just talking about what we owe.
Right
if
now.
If we're going to go into a negative situation is what you're talking about.
Could it exponentially cause a real problem here?
Yeah. I mean, take a look in the last 10, 12 years. How many ups and downs in the stock market we had?
Well, I think we're in the biggest bubble in history right now, and anybody looks at the charts, but that's neither here nor there. So what if we do have a correction in the stock market? Then, you know, even if it's a minor correction of, let's say, 10 or 20%, that is exponentially going to cause a bigger problem with the unfunded liabilities as
well. And Mark, Linda, keep in mind, we are going to have to pay these unfunded. Now,
is the only way out of it bankruptcy? In other words, and
no,
I'm not suggesting that that's going to happen. As much as I'm saying is
no, I want to make a statement here. I know I'm a city councilman, and some people may get upset with what I'm about to say, but there's a list that's called the good, bad, and the ugly, and there's 12 things on that list of ways of getting out of this. There's really only to me a couple of ways to do it, either all the bargaining groups start paying a portion, a larger portion, not larger because they're not paying a portion of the employer portion.
Right.
They're not paying a part of the city's portion.
Right.
Almost all of them are paying their employee portion now.
Okay.
So they need to start picking up a portion of the city's part of their pension. In other words, what I'm saying is the city, the 90,000 of us are not going to be, we cannot do it.
Yeah, can't fund their entire retirement.
They have been promised a pension. It's a darn good one, but they've been promised this pension, and I'm not going to stand in the way of them getting that pension.
Sure.
But they need to step up, and they need to start paying the portion to get us there, because right now they're promised a portion, let's call that 100%. We're either going to be able to get them 100%, or maybe we get down to 50%, or down to nothing, like in bankruptcy. So if they want it, they're going to have to pay for it. The other option would be that we could start outsourcing city services.
What about the new hirees? Are they still on this plan, or has this been modified at all?
They're still under CalPERS, but their age of retirement is gone up, and it's changed to more favorable to the city.
Okay, very good.
Okay, so I think we need to go to a break, and then when we come back from a break, I believe we have Charles on the line, so we'll take his call and get his question or comment. And so this is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this.
Imagine not having a home to go to or a clean, safe place to sleep. Imagine not having meals. Imagine not having a cool place to rest your head when it's really hot out. Imagine not being able to shower or be clean. This is not a dream. It's happening now. And for the hungry and the homeless, this is their reality. You can make a difference in someone's life starting now. You can be a part of the solution with the Good News Rescue Mission by making a generous donation. The Good News Rescue Mission not only provides food and shelter, but did you know we also have an academic and job readiness center, a resource center, a work search program, and a recovery program. Thank you for caring for those in need. You are feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, and offering a hand up, not a handout. To donate, go online to gnrm.org for Good News Rescue Mission. That's gnrm.org to help someone today or refer someone who's in need.
Tensions are high and anticipation is building for the 25th annual Ducky Derby presented by Reading East Rotary. In fact, some ducks are already out there training.
Good thing these big boys aren't in the race.
Adopt your duck for $5 and get in on the race for youth development and substance abuse prevention. Everyone wins and you can be the winner of $5,000 cash or a houseboat trip on Shasta Lake.
We've got to be ready for the 28th at 2:30 for the big drop.
Plus, second prize is a San Francisco Giants weekend courtesy of InterWest Insurance.
See you there September 28th at 1 p.m.
Our world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
What's happening?
We have no sound on our video for some reason.
Well, we could take our caller.
Yeah, let's just go straight. Yeah. Let's go straight to
hey,
our caller.
Charles, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you have a comment or question for Gary?
Well, I have a comment that kind of dovetails with what has been discussed with Mike Warren. By the way, it sounds like you have the audio portion of one of Charlie Chaplin's movies as a bump.
Well, I'm not sure where that's coming from, but
well, he was from the silent movie era.
No, oh, I get it.
Okay, so
yeah, because during Friday's forum, Patrick Jones brought up Mike Warren's A Little Sweetheart Deal, and then as soon as it got as
Let me interrupt you, Charles. Let me interrupt you a second there.
Yeah, because you were there too.
That
right?
Oh yeah, that little sweetheart deal, as you called it, did spike his pension. But that sweetheart deal in the long run is costing the city $55.9 million over a 10.5 year, because all the other employees got it too with the retroactive back to day one. They could have put that in. There was two options.
But
they need
to raise taxes, right?
Well, but I'm not going to raise
the
taxes.
Yeah, but they had another option, didn't they?
They had an option to start it in 1/1/05, January 1st of 05, and move forward, which could have been budgeted straight forward. Or they could have turned around and gone retroactive, which they did, which gave Mike 10 years worth of credit. And that cost the city, as of January the 1st of 2005, $17.2 million. That amount has morphed now into $55.9 million with a 10.5 year payment plan. Now, you can take that one, and let's just stop and mull it over, folks, and think of what he's talking about, because this is what Charles is talking about. Go ahead, Charles.
And I was going to say, this is the guy that's running Turtle Bay now and is instrumental in the land deal with the McConnell Foundation, and we should trust him, right?
There's nothing going on.
Go ahead, Charles.
Yeah, when it got time to for Mr. Weaver to give his response, he said, that's a personal attack, and I don't want to get into personal attacks. That's negative. We want to be positive. Da 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 da. And the Record Searchlight acolytes were all yay. And I mean, the questions that were offered in that forum. I mean, I was wondering who the hell is writing this. One of the questions, which is a little off subject, but was what is your answer for trying to help force people out of their cars and onto public transit and bicycles?
Charles, if I might, please. I understand what you're saying, and that issue needs to be talked about. But if we could go forward, there's some other things that I'd like to bring forward. Would you please let us move back to what we were talking about and all stay right with that? And thank you for calling. But and don't be mad at me, because there are some things we need to talk about. Okay.
Very good. Yeah, we only got 10 minutes left here, so we got to hurry up.
So one thing that I would like to bring
thanks
forward.
Thanks, Charles, for calling in.
One thing I'd like to bring forward is I'm talking about the unfunded pensions. Now, let's also talk about the regular employee pension payments for 14-15 under CalPERS was $17.5 million. PARS was $2.1 million, for a total of $19.2 million we're making in regular payments towards retirement. What the numbers that I'm using on this unfunded are above and beyond the 19.7 regular retirement payments the city is making. We are going to be increasing. We are going to be increasing up to $13.2 million plus the $4.8 million for 20 years. We'll build to that for the first 5 years, and then from the 5 years out, 20 years. So it's CalPERS is a 25-year payment plan that we're going to be paying. This is monstrous. This is got you talk about we need more police, we need more fire. We need to have people on the council that are going to look at the budget inside out, upside down, backwards, and if we have to have an outside forensic audit on the budget, we have to have it. Because the paper today is saying we're giving raises. Yeah. I know there was two members. I know so many people say we have such a divided city council. Well, some folks better realize the reason why you've got a divide is you got two people there that are standing up and trying to say, wait a minute, we got problems, and let's start taking care of the problems.
And three people that are voting for whatever the city wants.
That's
pretty much it. Well, all I got to say is Jones and Quinn to win. If you want to get your city council back for the people out there, you need to vote Jones and Quinn, because what I'm seeing is the rest is the B team, and they're all for Proposition B, for an example, which is seems to be whether it doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat, but if you're for the city, you got to be kind of careful. Go ahead.
We got a perfect lead in on that one. We just did our biannual budget report in our updates. Well, I'll be darned. The whole Turtle Bay McConnell situation was in open session.
was the statements were made that the city will have no cost in going forward with what we're doing. Oh, I'll be doggone. We did a mid-biennial budget report, and the last thing on the report is other funds. And other funds is the capital project fund is being tapped for $96,000. Oh, it seems that that sale had a total of $107,000. And I thought that McConnell was picking up the cost on that, but actually what it is, they're only going to pick up $10,500, and so the city of Reading scraped together $96,000. I didn't think we had any discretionary money to scrape up, so where'd this one come from?
And yeah. Who knew about this one?
Well, Patrick and I didn't know about it until we saw it on the issue.
Yeah.
Wasn't talked about
so
until
there's,
we saw
there's,
it on
so there's deals that are being negotiated behind closed doors, obviously with the city attorney and Starman, with Mike Warren and the McConnell Foundation.
Well, and if you really want to get into it, guys, ladies and gentlemen, if you really want to get into it, there's a website. It's called ReadingRevolt.com. If you go there, you can – a statement is made, and then there's an email or an answer to that statement. And that one of the statements was made at one of the debates by one of the Turtle Bay people, that the city of Reading wrote the appraisal instructions. That is an out-and-out non-truth. Hmm. And there's emails that you can find on this site that prove that the McConnell attorney is the one that wrote the
Oh, we can trust these guys, huh? I mean,
writing their own contracts.
Writing their own contracts.
Yeah, what's the problem here, guys?
They wouldn't cheat us at all. I mean, they wouldn't.
And we wonder why we have some city council members saying no.
Yeah, and everybody's getting paid huge bucks, and then you go get a ball filled, and.
don't let the history fool you about the pensions and stuff with Mike Warren were put in place just before he retired, so don't let Turtle Bay and getting the contract going.
I understand. I guess he's making a pretty viable sum over at Turtle Bay. But the whole thing boils down to is there's 90,000 people in the city of Reading. Where is your money being spent?
Yeah.
And when it comes down to it, it keeps being said, we don't have a harmonious city council, that it's 3-2 and the Cad and Jones are off over here. What you need to do is don't look at the 3-2. Look at the issue that Cad and Jones voted 3-2 on. When you do, you're going to say, well, you know what? Cad and Jones were probably right on this one, and this is the way we needed to go.
Yeah, well, here's another issue, too. You know, I mean, I'm familiar with civil service. I've worked for CDF. I work for the city of San Mateo. I've been in the Army. You know, I've worked for the Forest Service. My dad worked till the day he died for Caltrans. My mom retired from the post office. I understand a little bit about civil service. And it used to be when you went into civil service, you had job security, but you didn't have high wages. You went in there because of job security and the benefits.
Right. And the stability of the job.
These guys are getting rich.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just say it out what it is. You look at the salaries of Modi, Warren, we could go on and on and on. They're getting rich off the backs of the people here. That's not what civil service is supposed to be about. It was civil service, not
richness.
civil. You know, you're the serfs and we're the kings.
Right.
And you guys just shut up and get back to work, and we'll just take whatever we want, give ourselves raises, and then we'll raise taxes again. This is absolutely unconscionable, the amount of money these guys are making.
Yeah, and this is something that people need to get educated on, like Gary's saying. You know, just because they're saying no, maybe you need to look into why they're saying no. And even the people that are saying yes, educate, dig down deep, not just look at the surface when, you know, because they try to make you feel all warm and cozy. Dig deep into the issues.
Well, you know, the thing with it is, I'll say something here. I've made the statement to several people that, boy, I wish I was running this time. I wish I was in the debates, because a lot of this stuff I've studied.
Right.
I mean, I've called CalPERS. I've called PARS. I've called these two other sites that I've been going to. I've asked questions. I've gone to conferences and asked questions. And I continue doing it. And the reason I do, the more questions you ask, the more you learn. And the more you learn when you ask a question, I always love to do this. When I ask a question, 9 times out of 10, I've already researched it, and I already know the answer.
Right.
And I really enjoy doing that.
And it shows you how dirty the water can get the more questions you ask, too.
Well, that's true.
Well, very good. So I think we're running out of time. We'd like to thank you for coming in, Gary, and talking about this subject. And, you know, it's a hard subject to talk about. A lot of people avoid it and don't want to say the truth. But the real deal is that, you know, we need to get these guys under control.
Well, some people, when they do it, their eyes glaze over. Folks, your eyes can't glaze over. This is your money. You own a business. You need to know what's going on. If you work for somebody else, you still need to know what's going on because you want that business to be viable so you still have a job.
We're out of time. All I have to say is Jones and Quinn to win. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And this is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I am just a simple man, working with my hands. Oh, believe me.
All right, thank you, Mark and Linda. Thank you, Gary Cadd. And Don Shulman returns next on KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. President Obama has vowed to go after the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, but without the use of American ground forces. Secretary of State John Kerry on CBS TV.
We have countries in this region, countries outside of this region, in addition to the United States, all of whom are prepared to engage in military assistance, in actual strikes, if that is what it requires.
GOP Senator Lindsey Graham doesn't buy it.
This is a turning point in the war on terror. We're fighting a terrorist army, not an organization. It's going to take an army to beat an army. And this idea we'll never have any boots on the ground to defeat them in Syria is fantasy.
He was a guest on Fox News. Here comes Hurricane Odile. The storm has strengthened into a Category 4 bruiser, swirling over the Pacific Ocean with an expected close brush with the southern portion of Baja on.